The last one is, of course, this whole Sabbath cycle. Any part of the Jewish feast system is overwhelming for any family. Let me just describe for you the Sabbath supper that the Jewish families have. And that would be the solitude factor, the last point that I was sharing with you. Surrender, simplicity, and solitude. Solitude is built into the Sabbath cycle. Do you know what the Jewish Shabbat dinner is like? It's a long dinner. There's no rush. Nobody's going anywhere. It lasts the whole evening. The family slowly has looked forward to it from Wednesday until Friday night. On Friday night, the family sits down to the best meal of the week with everything the best that they have, and it starts with the father coming in and looking at his wife and quoting Proverbs 31 to her in front of the children every week. And he personalizes it to his wife out loud. Do you know how transforming that would be to the little boys and little girls of our families if they heard the father in their home with his mouth adoringly look at his wife and declare that she is beyond value that could be calculated, and that she will do him good all of her days, and that someday those children sitting at the table are going to rise up and call her blessed, and at this moment he is? That's called the blessing. The father blesses the wife. Then the father stands behind each of the children, one at a time, and actually reads. The Jewish men write on a card the blessing for each of their children. Every week, they write it down, and they stand behind them, and they put their hands on their head, and in front of the whole family, they say, "You, Johnny, will be a great man. You have strength. You have virtue. You have this. You have that. I see this in you." And then they move to the next one. If you have a lot of children, that's why the meal takes so long. You know what I mean? And then the father has to get ready. And then the mother opens in prayer the meal. And then the Shabbat starts. I mean, what? One time would revolutionize 90% of all the families, even in this church. I mean, how many men could give a blessing on every one of their children in this church? I mean, a thoughtful biblical blessing. How many would even know how to do it? It's from the scriptures. It's promises from the word. How many men can publicly say, I mean, I see more men so embarrassed they don't know how to say something nice about their wife. They just get all befuddled. Obviously, you don't practice. You know what I mean? It's not normal. In our culture, men, they just shy away from that. They say, "Oh, I don't want to do that in public," or whatever. That is a part of the biblical family that God laid down in the scriptures, where the men lead it, where the men lead in blessing, the men lead in prayer, the men lead in the scriptures, the men lead in the life of solitude. Obviously, for a man to write out a biblical blessing and to quote scripture about his wife, he has to spend time to do it. And he has to spend time alone, thinking. See where the solitude and the Sabbath cycle comes? And only in that lifestyle. Now, that's just the weekly Sabbath. You ought to see what they do on the other ones. It is overwhelming. You know what's really interesting? Jesus, in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, was walking in the temple observing the Feast of Dedication. You'll never find the Feast of Dedication in the Bible, other than there. It wasn't a biblical feast. It was developed later by the Jews. And Jesus even observed that non-biblical feast because it had such beautiful lessons that he used to teach from. That's where he gave his "I'm the good shepherd" deal in chapter 10. So what I see is Jesus took every available opportunity within their culture to teach. And what I see is in our culture, we don't have a heritage of this kind of stuff. But in the Jewish culture, we have a model. And so I don't know if you've caught, but I am really sold, not on going down and making sure our kids are kosher or kasher, but of drawing from the Bible a framework to use to teach my children about the substitutionary atonement of Christ at Passover, about the horror of sin at unleavened bread, about the fact of the first fruits, that Jesus Christ wants the first and the best of all of our increase, and that he is the first fruits because he rose from the dead. And the Passover, that he is the one in the middle of the summer season that brings the harvest, and he is the beginning of my new life at Rosh Hashanah, and he is the one who covered my sin at the Day of Atonement, and he is the one for whom I am truly thankful at the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles. Well, I could go on with that for a long time, but I will suggest a neat book. Karen Burton Maines, a lot of you ladies I know have seen this, but y'all let your husband read it, called Making Sunday Special. This is the most popularized form of what her proposal is, that once a month, her family, she was a pastor's wife, grew up in a pastor's home, and they just lived the whirlwind. Sunday was ruined. And so they had a Saturday night dinner, which was what we would call our Sunday dinner. It was the biggest deal of the week. It was Saturday night, so it didn't ruin Sunday. You know, usually Sunday is so busy already with church, if you're in the ministry, that if you try and have a good dinner, you're getting in late from church, you're gulping it down, and you're leaving for discipleship. You know what I mean? It's just like, brr. And so this book, this Making Sunday Special book by Maines, actually is a popularization of the Jewish Sabbath meal, Shabbat meal. Only she just strips it of all those words we don't even understand, ha bikurim, you know, and puts into it Christian ideas. The sad thing is this is out of print. So that's why I'm hiding it under my Bible, so I don't lose it tonight. But the concept, there's a lot of them out there. And that Martha Zimmerman book I shared with you in a small way covers that. It's called Celebrate the Feasts. And it's published by Bethany House, and it costs $8.09 through Amazon. You know, young couples that I'm counseling that are getting married, that's one of the sections I go over with them. I say, you know what? Right now you're starting family traditions. And I pull out that book. I say, you ought to think about some of these. Instead of inculcating in your children holidays that are meaningless, I mean, how many of our American holidays have any meaning to them? I mean, we're getting so far from any war. The kids don't even, did you see the political cartoon in the Tulsa World for Memorial Day? It showed the station wagon with the boogie boards on top and all the coolers attached to it, and they were driving by a cemetery with war hero crosses, and the kids were saying, what is Memorial Day anyway? You know, I mean, we've lost it in our culture. We don't know what most of those holidays are even for. And we should study that, and that's why we have Oklahoma history and all the other stuff we do in homeschooling. But to learn the biblical holidays for the rest of your children's lives when they read the Bible, they're going to bump into that. I mean, when it said Jesus walked through the feast or walked through the Solomon's colonnade in the winter at the Feast of Dedication, immediately the children would know it was Hanukkah. And they would know about what that means and about the celebration of lights. And that's why he talked to people about what he talked to them about. And so all of a sudden, that whole chapter in the New Testament will just flame to life. But if you don't share it with them, they'll miss that. And I mean, wouldn't you like to be the one that shares some of the greatest treasures with your children? That, I mean, doesn't it make you feel good when you hear your children talk and you say, oh yeah, my dad taught me that. Oh yeah, my mom taught me that. Here you have fresh soil that you can program into them something that every time they read the Bible and they come across the passages that mention the biblical holidays, they'll look up and they'll say, I remember when my dad bought this funny book, and all of a sudden he started standing up behind my mom, putting his hands on her shoulders, and quoting Proverbs 31 to us. And you know what? That's affected the husband or wife that I'm looking for. Because I want a man, or I want a woman, that will like that kind. You understand what I mean? What you're doing? You're programming into their lives something. Estelle went off to Camp Barakel, where I spoke, you know, and she was with all these, you know, Christian camps and Christian schools and Christian colleges have a lot of non-Christians in them. I heard someone say that tonight. Boy, you know, it's wild out there. But you know what? She came back to me. It was so sweet. She says, Dad, I didn't see any boys at that camp that are like you. I said, then you could never marry any of those guys. You see, you know, she was thinking about how I treat Bonnie. And she saw how those boys treated her and the other girls, and she says, none of them. Those are disinteresting to me. They're uninteresting to me. I don't want anything to do with them. Can you imagine if you get your family on a cycle where meals slow down, where you all sit at the table? I mean, it's just the most amazing thing, because the biblical feast requires you to sit for a couple of hours and talk and read and pray and think.